A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The elders of the people, chief priests and scribes, arose and brought Jesus before Pilate. They brought charges against him, saying, "We found this man misleading our people. He opposes the payment of taxes to Caesar and maintains that he is the Christ, a king." Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He said to him in reply, "You say so." Pilate then addressed the chief priests and the crowds, "I find this man not guilty." But they were adamant and said, "He is inciting the people with his teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee, where he began even to hear." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. And upon learning that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was in Jerusalem at the time. Herod was very glad to see Jesus. He had been wanting to see him for a long time, for he had heard about him and had been hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at length, but he gave him no answer. The chief priests and scribes, meanwhile, stood by, accusing him harshly. Herod and his soldiers treated him contemptuously and mocked him. And after clothing him in resplendent garb, he sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate became friends that very day, even though they had been enemies formerly. Pilate then summoned the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought this man to me and accused him of inciting the people to revolt. I have conducted my investigation in your presence and have found this man guilty of the charges you have brought against him. Nor did Herod, for he sent him back to us. So no capital crime has been committed by him. Therefore, I shall have him flogged and then release him." But altogether, they shouted out, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us." Now Barabbas had been imprisoned for a rebellion that had taken place in the city and for murder. Again, Pilate addressed them, still wishing to release Jesus. But they continued their shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate addressed them a third time, "What evil has this man done? I found him guilty of no capital crime. Therefore, I shall have him flogged and then release him." With loud shouts, however, they persisted in calling for his crucifixion, and their voices prevailed. The verdict of Pilate was that their demand should be granted. So he released the man who had been imprisoned for rebellion and murder, for whom they asked. And he handed Jesus over to them to deal with as they wished. As they led him away, they took hold of a certain Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country. And after laying the cross on him, they made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd of people followed Jesus, including many women who mourned and lamented him. Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep instead for yourselves and for your children. For indeed, the days are coming when people will say, 'Blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' At that time, people will say to the mountains, 'Fall upon us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if these things are done when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Now two others, both criminals, were led away with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on his right, the other on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." They divided his garments by casting lots. The people stood by and watched. The rulers, meanwhile, sneered at him and said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him, there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, because of an eclipse of the sun. Then the veil of the temple was torn down the middle. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion who witnessed what had happened glorified God and said, "This man was innocent beyond doubt." When all the people who had gathered for this spectacle saw what had happened, they returned home beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances stood at a distance, including the woman who had followed him from Galilee, and saw these events. The Gospel of the Lord.
The good thief that stole paradise with the simple words, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And our Lord's response, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." We don't know exactly when this was, when they were on the cross. Maybe 2 hours in. After these words, what was on the heart of the good thief? Let's say for the next hour, how did that change the good thief's heart? Absolutely, hope. Holding on to the only hope he can have of paradise, of Jesus remembering him, that something could come after his death. But not only hope, also a purpose. Probably not with words, but for the next, let's say, hour. As Jesus told him, "You'll be with me in paradise," this good thief had the chance to be with Jesus in his agony. He simply got to be there with him as the one who was saving him died for him. It became a chance for him to have a friendship, to be able to do nothing else, the only thing that Jesus could possibly receive, just to be with him. This Holy Week, that is the only thing we can do as well. This is the most important week of the church year, which is another way of saying this is the most important week of every year, of every one of us here today. This is the week we don't simply remember Jesus and what he did for us like some event 2,000 years ago. The same way that the good thief asked Jesus to remember him, not just some event, not just some fact, but the person. We remember Jesus so much so that when we come to be with him this week, we are there with him. And we actually have the chance to console him the only way he can be consoled, just by being with him. This week, we cast aside every single distraction possible. We ignore every suburban convenience we have at our fingertips, because the one purpose we've been given by the Lord is just to be with him in his agony, as he goes to win for us the chance to be with him in paradise. This is the most important week of the year. It's also the most important bulletin of the year. On your way out, please take a bulletin. It has everything going on in the parish, every liturgy, every type of prayer we have, many, many that are so good. One such as Tuesday, we have the Chrism Mass, the Mass of the year when the priests all throughout the diocese come to renew their promises before Bishop Rhodes. Also, the bishop will bless the holy oils that will be used throughout the year. Along with that, Wednesday, Spy Wednesday, we remember Judas's betrayal. We go and have a Seder meal in memory of our Jewish roots. On Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday morning, we'll begin the morning at 8:15 with the special morning prayer, praising God with the Psalms. Good Friday night, we'll have special tenere service. In the darkness, we'll praise God as nothing will stop us. All throughout this time, you'll have confessions, non-stop almost. If you have not made a good confession, let the Lord have the chance to let his cross be what it was meant to be and have mercy on us for our sins. And those are just the extra things. This Holy Week, there are three things we have to be there for. Not have to in the sense of holy day of obligation. It's not a sense of duty. But out of the sense of love for our Lord, we have to be there. This Thursday evening, on Holy Thursday, come to Holy Thursday Mass as we remember and celebrate Jesus giving us the gift of the most holy Eucharist, the priesthood, and the new commandment to love our neighbor. This Friday afternoon, be there with him as we remember and are there with him as he goes to die for us. On Holy Saturday night, be there with him on the most important event of the year, the Easter Vigil. Yes, it's long. Yes, it's worth it. We have 31 people being baptized and 20 more receiving their confirmation and First Holy Communion. Over 50 people receiving Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament for the first time. We have to be with him. There's nothing else we can give Jesus this week. There's nothing else he wants. Just be with him in his suffering.